Hello, welcome to Line by Line Bible Studies. My name is Paul Stringini. We are in the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. Verse 6, And Rebekah spake to Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. So the basic scenario is set out. You remember from chapters back, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. If you're following it, essentially Esau has gotten old, he's going to die, and he wants to confer the blessing on his firstborn. Rebekah is conspiring with Jacob to take his place. And, you know, some people would say, well, he's being dishonest, he's deceiving his father. And yeah, that's true. So what are we supposed to take from this, some sort of moral lesson? A lot of times people say, later on, when Laban tricks Jacob, it's sort of like he had it coming. What goes around comes around. And maybe there's something to that. But Esau was a profane person. He didn't deserve the blessing. Isaac is blind. You know, there's something symbolic in that the father has become blind. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to confer the blessing on an unworthy person. He loves his son, but he isn't able to tell the difference between a worthy son and an unworthy son. Hence his blindness. He's blind. He can't tell. You know, he's just going based on form. Who should I bless? The eldest. And he's very fond of his eldest son. You know, and like I said, Esau is a very, the personality is of someone who likes good times. And, you know, good time people, they're fun to be around. I mean, you can be a person that people like to hang around with and a person who's fun without being a profane person. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be a stick in the mud. It doesn't mean you can't, play games and have fun like family gatherings or anything like that. You know, you can participate in things that are common to man. Like Esau's hunting. There was nothing wrong with going hunting. Or, you know, in the modern day, participating in a sporting event or something like that. But what it is he did that to the exclusion of, you know, fixing his mind on the Lord. He was not mindful of God. And that's where it becomes, you're a profane person because your life is characterized by your profane pursuits. We all have to live in this profane world that's far from God. You know, we all participate in profanity. We all have to go to the bathroom right there. That's a profane thing. We do all kinds of things that are not appropriate for the holy place, which is the definition of what profane is. But when those things become the center of our lives, and replace God in our lives as like the most important thing. Like with some people, you know, sports is a form of religion. You know, it's not exactly like religion, but it serves many of the same purposes. It's weird because like I think that for some people, ideology replaces religion. Sports is like a different side of it, and I haven't exactly sorted out in my mind, you know, the differences between that. Because there doesn't seem to me, it doesn't seem apparent that there is an ideology behind sports or hunting or anything like that. It's just seeking pleasure is the main thing. It's fun to go do these things, you know. And pleasure seeking is never seen as an ideology. It's kind of like the opposite. It's more like, you know, the devil may care, but I don't. Hedonism can be a sort of a philosophy. But political ideology can also be a very profane thing. Some people are so soaked up in their political ideology, it replaces religion. But it's not an effective substitute for religion. Because ideology is much more limited and narrow. Same thing with sports and all the profane pursuits that someone might go after that are not God. They're going to fall short of what religion should provide you. Anyway, Esau is not a man who's mindful of the things of God. And he sold his birthright already. Now, Isaac is too blind to know who he should bless. And I don't know if he's in on it, like it was told him and then he said no or something like that. That's no detail like that is given. We're just given this thing that he is blind. If he might know that Esau sold his birthright. I mean, that could be. For example, people say, well, Paul, you're saying it's okay to lie? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, like, let's say you live in, you know, Nazi Germany, and you're hiding Jews in your basement. Well, there's a more important truth. Let me put it this way. I'll take the consequences of that lie. I'd be willing to take the consequences. I would try to avoid telling that lie. But you know what I'm saying? But asked point blank, what do? Just say yes? It's a tough ethical question. In the Bible, you know, you find examples where people are deceiving other people. In the book of Kings, even the Lord sends forth a lying spirit. Now, God doesn't lie. But he will send forth lying spirits. And you can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 22. The prophet Micaiah was in front of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And there were all these false prophets prophesying victory and doing all these demonstrative things, lying. And then the prophet then lies to him and says, oh, it's going to be great. Go and prosper. The Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king even admonishes him. Didn't I tell you not to say anything except that which is true in the name of the Lord? And then he tells him the truth. I saw Israel scattered like sheep. And then he goes, didn't I tell you he would say nothing but bad things about me? It's kind of a funny sequence. And then Micaiah talks about how there he saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven on the right hand and on the left. And he said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spirit says one thing and then one says another. And then there comes forth a spirit and says, I will persuade him. And then he says, well, what will you do? And the Spirit says, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And then the Lord says, you will persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so. Go forth and lie. In a sense, Esau is trying to steal back what he sold. He's trying to steal back what he sold. And perhaps Isaac is complicit. You know, not taking it seriously. But from the beginning of their birth, it was prophesied, the elder shall serve the younger. You know, that though the firstborn was the firstborn, the younger was going to usurp him. So though I never encourage anyone ever to tell a lie, I suppose on some level, when you're dealing with an enemy, essentially, who's trying to destroy you or take something away from you that's precious, like the blessings of God, people lie for a lot of things, you know. You know, how often have they sincerely and truly lied for the sake of God's kingdom? I lied so they couldn't take the kingdom away from me. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, there's a very high bar here know, there's not a lot of room for someone to say, well, I'm going to lie. Oh, and it's going to be for God. You know, and like, oh, I'll lie about the church finances that I stole. You know, oh, I'll lie about this thing I don't want my wife to know. That's not for the Lord. The Lord loves the truth. But the enemies of God get lied to. Because they are liars. They are bathed and soaked in lies. And lies are all they understand. That's why the prophet Micaiah, he told the king Ahab a lie. He said, you will be successful. Go forth. And Ahab knew he was lying. You know that? He knew he was lying. I always find that fascinating. And this too, because Jacob, is he being deceitful? Yes. And the full context is not exactly known. But Esau, he knows. This isn't supposed to be his anymore. I didn't mean it. Well, you said it. Every idle word. You sold your birthright lightly. Yeah, you can have my birthright. Who cares? Just because you sold something cheaply doesn't mean you didn't sell it. It means you didn't value it in the first place properly. If you valued it properly in the first place, you wouldn't let it go so cheap. But not that Isaac is getting lied to because he's an enemy of God, but he's blind. He doesn't know the lies from the truth. The blind can't tell. Ask a blind man. Is the sky red or is it green? Well, maybe not the sky. They might know that factually. They say, is this thing I'm holding, what color is it? They don't know what color things are. Am I holding up two fingers or three? And he says, three. And you tell him, oh, you're right, three. It doesn't matter how many fingers you're holding up. He's blind. He can't tell. So let's go on. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. You know, Esau's all hairy. I'm too physically different from him. He's going to know immediately. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him a deceiver. See, even in my Bible, it says, he shrinks not from the fraud, but from its detection. It's not a fraud. Esau sold his birthright. The fraud is happening by Esau still trying to take it. That's the fraud. That's the theft. Jacob has stolen nothing. Esau is trying to steal it back. Isaac is blind. But if he detects the truth, you know, that this is not Esau, that this is Jacob. He's saying, well, then my father might think I'm a deceiver. I think what he's saying, I may seem to him as a deceiver because Jacob doesn't think of himself as a deceiver. But he knows that his father will see it that way. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So she's got a plan. She's going to put these skins on his neck, on his hands. Now, you know, remember, I imagine it still has the fur on, you know, and so it's like for the beard, you know, because maybe he doesn't grow a very full beard. So on his neck, he puts this beard. I mean, Esau, if he, you know, when guys are really hairy, they got that full neck beard going on, you know. And so in his arms, he's really hairy on the arm, so probably not taking the hairiest part of the goat, maybe even clipping it a bit. She probably prepared it so that it would work. And it may seem a little far-fetched, but he's exceedingly old. And, you know, a lot of the senses are not as acute when you become old. The sight goes and, you know, other things too. I mean, when was the last time he touched Esau? He knew Esau was a hairy guy, but I doubt he was feeling him all the time. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. So as I read him saying, I am Esau, thy firstborn, is it a lie? Well, the right to stand there and say that to his father was sold. The birthright. He was named that at his birth, Esau. And he sold his birthright. Jacob has every right to stand there and claim the birthright. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Is that deceit? How did he get the venison? If Esau had gotten it by hunting and found it quickly, and Jacob had got it by Rebekah helping him, if either of them had said God had helped them get it, would either of them be wrong? You know what I'm saying? If Esau went out and he just saw a buck and he shoots it, he comes back and says, Well, I was lucky. How'd you get so lucky? How do we get anything in this life? How did Jacob end up in this position? How did he end up with Rebekah as his mother? How did he end up being the favorite of his mother? You know, God brought about all these things. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So it says in the book of Romans, quoting from the prophet Malachi. But anyways, I love Jacob, and therefore the Lord does things for Jacob. And so when Jacob says, the Lord brought it to me, that's not deceit. 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come here now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So there's the blessing. Quite remarkable blessing. God give you the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you. Nations bow down. Be Lord over your brethren. There's all this stuff that Esau had coming, but he sold it. The right to stand there and say that Esau sold. He is the one who should have said, I have sold my birthright, Father. I cannot receive it of you. Jacob loved the sacred things of God so much that he was willing to lie to his father to obtain them. Esau sold his birthright, and he had no right to take it up again. So in a sense, he's the one who has sort of put Jacob in this position. By not leveling with his father, he brought these lies into being. Verse 30, And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? It's very interesting to me. Esau's perspective on this, he sees the two things as separate. He took away my birthright, and now he's taking away my blessing. The two go hand in hand. What is the birthright but the right to be the firstborn, to receive the blessing? So we, you know, looking just back at these verses, Isaac is very moved by this. He trembles. It's an interesting situation here. I almost feel like he's trembling in anger. I guess I was reading in my margin. The margin here has got a really weird perspective on it. It says, this trembling was not from doubt or from the discovery, but on account of the difficulty into which it had brought him with a man of Esau's temperament. I guess he thought Esau would get angry and start whacking his father, is what that's trying to say. And he's going to get violent with his old man. Look at verse 37. And Isaac answered him and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. I can't read it like that. In Hebrew, there's a preposition that does not get translated into English, which is a mistake. It is of, which means from in this context. So it means your dwelling shall be from the fatness of the earth, like away from the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heavens, and from the dew of heavens, from above. 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. As it's written in Hebrews, lest there be a fornicator among you, or a profane person such as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You might ask, well, why doesn't Isaac just reverse it? Say, well, I take back my blessing from Jacob, and I'll give it to Esau. What was given was given. Isaac knew immediately it was of the Lord. That's what I say. He knew that this was of God. This was the Lord's doing. And in a sense, part of me wonders if he wasn't, you know, he said he knew the voice was Jacob's. He saw the charade. I mean, here's the thing. Was the deceit really that convincing? Was he truly deceived? Or did he play along? Like, in a sense, I get the feeling like that he kind of might have played along. Because it doesn't seem incredibly of a good, you know, like the goat skins and all that seems kind of a far-fetched thing. But he knows his sons, and he may favor the one. But he also knows the Lord. And he knows the Lord favors the other. He would have to know it. And though he wanted to bless his older son, the one to whom the birthright now belonged was the one who got the blessing. And he knows that the blessing he's conferring is not his own. It's from God himself. Because it's the same he inherited from Abraham. And then when Isaac finally gives him, he says, the blessing he gives him is like, yeah, you're not going to, I'm not sure if that of means from or in the sense of maybe, you will live off the fatness. Because to Jacob, the fatness belongs. The dew belongs to him. The Lord's going to give you the dew of heaven. Esau, you're going to live off the dew of heaven. You're going to live off the fatness of the earth, of it. It isn't yours. You will live of it, but it does not belong to you. And you will serve your brother and live by your sword. And it shall come to pass when he shall have dominion over you that you will break his yoke from what you mean. We're saying, and eventually you will be able to free yourself from this. 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So, he plots to murder him. It's a little too heavy for him this time. He sold his birthright lightly, but now when it's time to pay the consequence, when it's time to give it up, he's angry. He's sold out, but he doesn't want to live with the consequences. And murder has entered into his heart. That's how quickly Good Time Charlie can turn. He's a good old guy until his foolishness causes him to lose something. And then he's looking, who can I blame? Who can I blame for what I've lost? Verse 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. He comforts himself with thoughts of your murder. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Interesting. A few days. Jacob was there for 20 years. So she underestimated how long this was going to take. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done unto him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And what both means Jacob and Esau. Because Esau would kill Jacob, then Esau would be a murderer. And there would be the avenger of blood. Someone would avenge that. Or someone within their family group is much bigger than just them. And someone would have to kill Esau. Because it would be seen, you'd say, well, why would someone take that upon themselves if they're not interested and there's no government to do it, let's say. Because they would believe that they would all be cursed as long as there was a murderer in their midst. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? And that kind of goes into the next chapter. I almost think that belongs to the next chapter. So we'll discuss that when we go into chapter 28 next time. This has been Line by Line Bible Studies. My name is Paul Strangini. You can find all my studies on oraclesofgod.org, oraclesofgod.org, oraclesofgod.org. Thanks for joining me in this study. I look forward to studying with you again very soon.